to count for something, to leave their mark when life is through. But they pursue.
God, that would be the desire of every heart here this morning. Amen. I don't know about you, but that's the desire in my heart, is for my life to count for Jesus. Nothing else is going to matter. Sometimes we just really got to get woke up to that at the end of the day, at the end of this life, when it's all said and done. When we take our last breath here, and wake up over there, the only thing that's going to matter is what we did for Jesus. I mean, that is a sobering truth. I want to preach to you this morning a message that God's laid on my heart. I preached a series to our teenagers a couple years ago, and so here I go again trying to preach a series in a sermon. So let's see what we can do with this. I hope I won't be long this morning. I've taken a lot out, but I want to give you a message that God laid on my heart some years ago, and I began to look over my notes and add a little, take away a little, and God just did a work in my heart, and I hope it'll be a help to you. I want to preach this morning on evaluating our enemy. Evaluating our enemy. You know, if our lives, listen to me, young people, if your life is going to count for Jesus, then you're going to have to understand a little bit about your enemy. You see, we're in a battle. Brother Isaiah read to you in Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse 11. He read, the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the tricks. That's the tactics. That's the strategy of the devil. And the Bible says that you need to put on the armor of God. That means you're in a battle. In 2 Timothy, I believe it's in chapter number 2, in verse number 3, Paul told that young preacher, Timothy, Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He said, Timothy, you're in a battle. He said, Timothy, you're a soldier. Ephesians chapter number 6, where we just read, says that to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The next verse says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, not only are we in a battle and do we have an enemy, but that enemy has an army. And so it is important that we understand something about our enemy. And so this morning, I want to try and take the word of God, and I want us to evaluate the enemy. I believe with all of my heart this morning, if somebody in this building would get a hold to the truth that I'm going to preach this morning, it could save a lot of heartache. It could save a lot of pain. It might even save a casualty in the battlefield. So you got to understand your enemy. And I'm thankful this morning that, you know, we have an enemy. Yes, we have an enemy. I believe we have three enemies. I believe we have the enemy of the flesh, the world, and the devil. You see, the world is our enemy. The world, this world system wants to conform you. I don't mean the lost world out there. No, we're supposed to love this world. But this system of this world, it wants to conform you. Your flesh wants to control you. And the enemy, the devil, he wants to crush you. I heard a man preach that some years ago, and I've never forgotten it. The flesh and the devil. The world, it wants to conform you. The flesh, it wants to control you. And the devil, he wants to crush you. But this morning, we're going to talk about that last enemy that we fight. The enemy that we all think of when we say the enemy. We're talking about the devil. His very name actually means enemy. Satan means adversary. Adversary means enemy. You see, we have an enemy. An enemy. He's real, brethren. He is real and he is active. The Bible says that he's the prince and the power of the air. He's the ruler of this world. You see, this world we're living in right now, the devil, the enemy, Satan, our adversary, he's ruling and reigning. He's going about seeking whom he may devour. You see, he is active in our world today. We have an enemy. But thank God we know something about him. I was thinking about this. If we're talking about an enemy in a battle, in a strategy, or so to speak, we could also put it like this. If it was an opponent on the field in a game or something like that, you know, we have his footage, right? We have the film. We have the game film that we can look at, but we don't just have that. We got the playbook. We know something about how he fights. It's almost like we're the New England Patriots, right? We know what the enemy's going to do. We've got the playbook, amen? God has not left us to ourselves. He's told us a little bit about our enemy. We know his tactics. We know his devices. We know his tricks. We know his moves. We know what he does. We've got thousands of years of watching him destroy and watching him wreck and watching him ruin. Not only that, we've got the word of God that tells us. God said we're not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. He said we're not to, we put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see, we know how he fights. And so this morning, I want us to look a little bit at our enemy. I want us to evaluate our enemy. Anybody that's going to battle, anybody that's going to competition, going to war, going to fight, they're going to evaluate the enemy, evaluate the opposition, see what they're up against. And I want us to do that this morning. Let's evaluate our enemy. Number one, I want us to see this about our enemy. Turn to Genesis chapter 3, if you would. Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3, I find it interesting that the first time we see our enemy is in Genesis chapter number 3. The Bible says this, In verse number 1, I want you to get there. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now the serpent. The first thing I say about our enemy is this. He is a master of disguise. A master of disguise. The very first time we see our enemy in the Word of God, he doesn't come as himself. No, he comes disguised. He's a serpent. The Bible says that now the serpent was more subtle. He was sneaky. Many believe he was beautiful at this time. The serpent was not what we see today. See, the serpent we see today is under a curse. They don't believe, most Bible commentators and most Bible students don't believe that this serpent was the serpent we see today. See, that serpent has been cursed here in the book of Genesis. But this serpent, I don't believe, was that way. And this serpent came to Eve disguised. Can I tell you, our enemy this morning is a master of disguise. He will not come to you as what he is. No, he will come to you in disguise. The devil's never going to come to you, young people. You know, hey, I'm the devil. How are you? You know, he's not going to do that. No, he's going to come disguised. One way I see him disguised here in Genesis chapter number 3, he comes disguised as an advisor. I believe some of you heard something about that Wednesday night. I listened to the message Wednesday night from the pastor, and man, what is a good message. He said, you better be careful about those guidance counselors, right? Y'all remember that? Those guidance counselors. Hey, you better be careful about who is guiding your life and who's giving you counsel, because the Bible says the devil is a master of disguise, and he likes to disguise himself as an advisor. He come to Eve, and he said, Eve, let me help you out. Let me give you some advice. Let me tell you about God. Let me tell you about you. Let me tell you about life. Can I tell you, hey, be careful about the advice and the advisors that you allow into your life, because the devil will come, our enemy, our adversary, he will disguise himself as an advisor. I think about in 2 Samuel, I believe it's in chapter number 13, in verse number 3, we have the story in 2 Samuel 13, 3, we have the story of Amnon. And the Bible says in verse number 3, Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. He was a very subtle man. Kind of reminds me of this serpent in Genesis chapter 3. And what did Jonadab do? He said, Amnon, I got some advice for you. You want your sister? Here's what you do. Young people, hear me this morning. Everybody, hear me this morning. It's you Sunday, but we all need to hear this morning. Hey, be careful who you allow to advise you. Because the devil is a master of disguise, and he loves to disguise himself as an advisor. He loves to disguise himself as a counselor, as a teacher, as a professor. You see, there's a lot of teachers and professors and even preachers in our day that are nothing but fools. You say, Brother David, you shouldn't say that. I didn't. God did. God said, professing themselves to be wise, they became as fools. These people that are running around trying to tell you how to raise your children, trying to tell me how to live my life, trying to tell us what we should do and how we should live and which way we should go. Can I tell you, watch who you get your advice from, because you might be getting your advice from a devil. The Bible says that the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Somebody that doesn't believe in God, somebody that doesn't believe in this Bible, hey, you better be real careful about getting advice from them. It might be the devil. He's a master of disguise. He comes disguised as an advisor. Hey, the devil will come disguised as an ally. As an ally. You say, what do you mean, Brother David? John chapter 6 and verse number 70 and 71, Jesus said this. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen 12, and one of you is a devil. Jesus said, I got 12 disciples and one of them's a devil. He was their ally. He was their friend. He served with them. He walked with them. He taught with them. He ate with them. He hung out with them. He was an ally of theirs. But you know what Jesus said about him? He said, he's a devil. So you better be careful about who, what friends you hang around with, who, what allies you allow in your life. The Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. The devil, he'll come to you not only as an advisor, he'll come to you as an ally. I'm your friend. I'm just here to help you. I'm with you. I mean, it's all throughout the Bible, and I'm going to hurry this one. This is a message in itself. Hey, the devil is a master of disguise. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, it talks about false brethren. Paul told those people in Corinthians, in Corinth, he said, hey, you know what? You better mark them that walk contrary to what's been preached. Because you know what? They might be a devil. Brethren, you better be careful about who you hang out with. I'm not being mean this morning. I'm trying to help you. I'm telling you that God has given us the playbook of our enemy. God has told us how he fights. And God said, hey, your enemy's a master of disguise. He'll come to you as an advisor. He'll come to you as an ally. Hey, he'll even come to you as an angel of light. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, that he'll transform himself into an angel of light, that he has ministers. Not everybody that carries a Bible, not everybody that stands behind a pulpit, not everybody called preacher or priest or prophet or elder or whatever other name they got for that person that stands up and shares the truth of the Word of God. Can I tell you, not every one of them is really what they say they are. Some of them are angels of light. They are devils. The devil is a master. I've discussed. Somebody said, Brother David, I think there's one preaching to me this morning. What if you're an angel of light? No, I'm not an angel of light because I'm telling you what this book says. Amen. Our enemy, he's a master of disguise. He'll disguise himself as an advisor, as an ally, as an angel of light. Hey, be careful. Be careful. The devil likes to dress up. Everybody going to dress up this week? I'm not. Amen. My children not neither. Amen. I don't want nothing to do with that garbage, amen. But a lot of people are going to dress up this week. Go out and celebrate the devil's birthday, right? Let's go rejoice in the fact that there's a devil. I'm not going to do it, amen. Now, some of you done cut me off now, but can I tell you, hey, he's a master of disguise. Not only is he a master of disguise, I'm going to skip to my third point. He's a master of deceit. He's a master of deception. The Bible says this about our enemy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 says, talking about Genesis chapter 3, it says, the woman being deceived was in the transgression. You see, she was deceived. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 44, he is a liar and the father of it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 says that the evil man is seducer shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It says this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And it goes down through that list of things that are going to be happening. And when it gets done, he says deceiving is going to get worse and worse and worse. And can I tell you, we're living in a day of deception. What's right is wrong, and what's wrong is right. You see, because the devil is a master of deception. Hey, don't get mad at the messenger this morning. Our pastor said a couple weeks ago, don't shoot the messenger. Hey, listen to the message. Can I tell you right now, there's a lot of people running around in this country. There's a lot of Christians running around in our churches today that are being deceived. Being deceived, brethren. Now, I understand it can happen to me too. Don't think I'm standing up here like, oh, I've got it all figured out. I know the devil has deceived me, will deceive me, and will continue to try to deceive me. But we need to wake up in 2017 and realize that our enemy, our adversary, the devil, is a master of deception. He's a master at it. I mean, I got to say this. I'm sorry. Hey, I hope I don't lose nobody right here. But can I tell you, there's some things that are just kind of, you just don't know about. There's some things you just can't figure out. Some things you just have to really pray about. There's some things you even have to just get settled in your heart, whether they're right or wrong. But there's some things that are just as clear as the nose on my face this morning. Can I tell you, hey, ghosts and goblins and zombies and all that garbage that is associated with this time of year, hey, that stuff is of the devil and somebody's being deceived. Hey, don't get mad at me. I'm telling you, folks are being deceived. They're being tricked. They're being lied to. They're falling into the devil's trap, his devices, the wiles of the devil. They're watering it down. They're acting like it really don't matter. Oh, no, you can dress up like a prostitute. You can dress up like a pimp. You can dress up like a murderer. You can dress up like a demon. You can dress up like a witch. The Bible says to abstain from all appearances of evil. We ought not have nothing to do with that garbage. You hear me? Hey, the devil is a master of deceit.
And not only is he a master of deceit, he's a master of division. I'm going to move on to my next point. He's a master of division, and he's probably trying to divide some things right now. He's saying, hey, don't you listen to Brother David. He don't know what he's talking about. He's trying to divide you from me. He's trying to divide us from what's going on this morning. Hey, our enemy, not only is he a master of deceit, but he is a master of division. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to divide and conquer. That's what he wants to do. He wants to divide your home. He wants to divide this church. He wants to divide our nation. He wants to divide this world, because if he can divide us, he can conquer us. Jesus said, a house divided against itself will not stand. The devil is a master of division. And he's doing everything he can in 2017 to divide your home and to divide this church and to divide our country. Brother Dave, we're living in a day of division, a day of deceit. You say, what do you mean, Brother David? The devil is active, and he's a master at it. He's been at it a long time. You can't even turn on the television and know whether you're hearing the truth or not. You say, oh, Brother David, you can go to Fox News. Hey, Fox News will lie to you too. You hear me? CNN, NBC, Fox News, it don't matter. Hey, your phone, the internet, they'll all lie to you. You say, why do they lie, Brother David? Because they're under the influence of the power of this world. They're being influenced by our enemy, the adversary, and he is a master of deceit. He's a master of lying. He's the father of the lie. He's a master of division. He wants to divide this country. He wants to divide our homes. He wants to divide our churches. He wants to divide and conquer. That's what he wants to do. And he's a master at it. And we ought not be ignorant to it. God said, don't be ignorant to the devil's devices. Don't fall for the devil's tricks, brethren. We don't have to. Our enemy's real, brethren. This isn't a fairy tale. You say, Brother Dave, why are you so excited? Why are you so wound up? Why are you preaching? Because I understand with everything that's in me, what I'm telling you this morning is truth, and we're seeing it unfold before our eyes. The enemy is running rampant in our day. He is dividing. He's disguising. He's deceiving. He's making people even doubt. He's a master at it. He's a master of doubt. You in Genesis chapter 3, I think. He's a master of doubt. Man, I'm all over the place here. He's a master of doubt. Look what he said in verse number 1. Genesis chapter 3, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? Did God really say that? He wants you to doubt God's word. He's a master at it. He's been doing it for years and years. See, I just told you, the Bible says abstain from all appearances of evil. I could go through the list and show you verse after verse after verse that teaches there's a lot of things in this world we ought not have nothing to do. That we're to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. We're not to touch the unclean thing. We're not to be like this world. We're not to act like this world. We're not to dress like this world. We're not to talk like this world. We're not to be in love with this world. I could go down and show you thing after thing. And you know what's going to happen? Some people are going to see it straight from the Word of God, not from Brother David, not from Pastor Frank, not from Pastor Freeman, not from Pastor Short. No, they're going to see it right from the Word of God. But that old master, that old enemy, that old adversary, that old man that likes to make everybody doubt is going to come along and say, hath God said? Hath God said? See, he wants you to doubt God's word. He doesn't want you to believe this book. He doesn't want me to believe this book. He doesn't want us to believe what God said. He wants us to doubt God's word. He wants us to doubt God's will or God's way. You know what he told Eve? He come to Eve. Look in verse number three. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither you shall touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said, woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He said, Eve, listen to me, young people. This is a lie the devil's selling to a lot of people. Please hear me. God doesn't know what's best for you. He's holding out on you. That's what the devil says. He come to Eve and he said, Eve, nah, I know what God said, but if you eat from this tree, you're going to know some things. you're going to experience some things. It's going to be good. God doesn't want what's best for you, Eve. He's holding out on you. Isn't that the lie that the devil tries to sell? God's holding out on you. Some of these young people have grown up in church their entire life. Hey, I didn't grow up in church my entire life. I didn't come to Sunday school. I didn't go to Vacation Bible School. I didn't hear preaching. Can I just go ahead and stand up and testify to you right now? Hey, God doesn't have anything for you. I mean, the devil doesn't have anything for you. God does. God does. Brother Brian preached the other night. It was wonderful talking about that marriage that Jesus was at. They brought out the wine, and after they had well drunk, and then Jesus came, and he saved the good wine for last. You see, the world, they're going to give you everything right now, what you can touch, what you can feel. Hey, have fun. Live it up. God's holding out on you. Oh, don't listen to that preacher. Don't listen to your Sunday school teacher. Don't listen to your mom and dad. God doesn't know what's best for you. No. Don't you go with God. Hey, you do what you want to do. You do what feels good to you. You're your own person. Hey, that's a lie of the devil. God has got something great for you. Amen. Hold out. God's way is so much better, but the devil comes along, our adversary, our enemy. He wants you to doubt God's word. He wants you to doubt God's way or God's will. He wants you to doubt God's warning. Look what he said to Eve in Genesis chapter number 3. In chapter 2 and verse 16 and 17, it says, chapter 2 verse 16 and 17 says this. It says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And what did the devil come along and he said? Thou shalt not die. Thou shalt not surely die. But God said you're going to die. The devil says, no, you're not going to die. He wants you to doubt God's word. He wants you to doubt God's way and God's will. He wants you to doubt God's warning. He wants you to say, you know what? I know that God said that if I do this, I'm going to die. But, you know, it's not going to happen to me. It's not going to happen to you, Eve. You can do what you want to do. Don't pay no attention to God. Hey, God's not going to hold you accountable. Can I tell you this morning, the Bible says in Galatians chapter number 6, verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God is going to make us pay. God says, hey, I've warned you, and if you go against my warning, I will judge you. I know that's not a famous message today, but it's so. It might not be that way at home. Mom might say, hey, this is your last chance. I'm not going to tell you again one more time. Hey, God doesn't work that way. If God says don't do it, don't touch it, don't be a part of it, and we do it anyway, God says, okay, I'm going to judge you. I love you, but I'm going to judge you. But the devil says, nah, God won't do it. Says, you know, doubt God's warning. There's some parents this morning. God's warned you and warned you and warned you about the path you're taking your family, and God's warned you, and the man of God's warned you, and preachers have warned you, and the Holy Spirit has warned you, but you don't believe the warning. Can I tell you right now, on the authority of the Word of God, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. Because God's warnings are serious, but the devil says doubt them. Doubt God's warning, doubt God's way, doubt God's will, doubt God's word. The devil is a master of doubt. He's a master of deception. He's a master of division. Matthew 12, 25 says, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. You know, the devil used all kinds of things to divide us. I'm going to go through these quickly and I'm going to move on. The devil wants to use anything he can to divide us this morning. I'm telling you right now, the devil just wants to divide. God is for unity. The Bible says that God said, oh, how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. The devil hates everything God loves, and God loves unity. So therefore, the devil comes along and he tries to divide. And we're seeing it today more than ever. What happened in Charlottesville a couple months ago? You know what that was? That was the devil. Newsflash. That was our enemy. He's trying to divide. And he's hard at work. He's a master of it. He'll use people. He'll use people to divide. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18 talks about people. And that's the verse that talks about Mark and them. He'll use people to divide. He'll use personalities. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 11. They said, I'm of Paul. I'm of Cephas. I'm of, you know, they said, I'm of Apollos. You know, I'm of this one. I'm of that one. I like the way Paul preaches. I like the way Apollos preaches. I like the way this one preaches. I like the way they do it. Hey, the devil will use people. He'll use personalities. He'll use problems. The devil will come along when there's some problems. You know that verse we had Isaiah read at the beginning in 2 Corinthians in chapter number 2 in verse number 11? When he read that verse, if you read that whole chapter right there, you know what's going on? There's a problem in Corinth, and Paul's saying, you better get that thing worked out, because if not, the devil's going to get an advantage against us. He's going to come in, and he's going to get advantage of us. The devil will capitalize on problems. You have a problem in your home right now. Maybe it's a financial problem. Maybe it's a marital problem. Maybe it's a problem with your child. Maybe it's a problem with your health. I don't know. I don't know what kind of problems you might be having this morning, but can I tell you, if you have a problem in your home, the devil loves it. He's going to come along and try to divide. He's going to use that problem to sow seeds of division. He uses problems. He uses personalities. He uses people. He uses pride. Oh, wow. And I don't have time to preach. I'm telling you, every point's a message in itself. The devil will use our pride to divide us. I'm right. I know better than he does. I know better than she does. Who does she think she is trying to tell me? I'm the man of this house. Right? The devil. If there's division in your home, you better look around, because that enemy's, he's there somewhere. He's trying to get his foot in the door. He's a master at it. A master. The devil wants nothing more than to divide this church. What we got going here, the devil hates it. And if he could have his way, and he's going to try until the day Jesus comes to divide us. He'll use anything he can. He'll use our pride. He'll use people. He'll use personalities. He'll use my preaching. Amen. He's just trying to divide us. Amen. The devil will use anything he can. He'll use progress. That's something we got to be careful of, Pastor. I read that and I thought, wow. Acts chapter 6, you read it sometime when you get home. The Bible says in Acts chapter 6, the church was exploding. People were being saved. They were being added to daily. And some people came along and started murmuring and complaining. The devil used progress. Oh, y'all want to build? I can't believe they want to build a building. Pay off the mortgage. Why in the world would they want to get out of debt? What in the world? Why would they want to build an auditorium where we could have fellowships and where we could bring children in and they could play basketball and we could have vacation Bible school and we could have a bigger Sunday school and run more buses and reach more people and have a bigger influence in this community? Why in the world would they want to do that? Progress. Progress. Things are going good. People getting saved. People are always getting saved. They're having a baptism. Can you believe they're going to have a baptism? It's Youth Sunday. They already had them boys come up and do the usher badges. Brother, everybody knows Brother David's going to preach an hour, and then they're going to have a baptism? That's the devil. I'm telling you, our enemy, hey, he's been at this thing a long time. Anything to divide. Have the nerve of them to baptize somebody that got saved. We're in trouble, brother. I'm telling you. Our enemy, he don't play fair. He don't play fair. He's a master. He's a master of division. Not only that, he's a master of distraction. And I'm moving on. He's a master of distraction. Genesis chapter number 3. Look what it says in verse 6. It says, and when the woman saw, you see that? When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise. He said, Eve, look at it. It's good. You know, it's pleasant to the eyes. It'll make you wise. Sounds like to me in 1 John, I believe it is, it said, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. That's not of God. That's of the world. That's of the devil. That's what he'll come along and do. He'll try to distract us. You know what? When the devil tries to distract us, brethren, this crowd right here this morning, he's not going to just try to distract us with alcohol and drugs. No, he's not going to try to distract us with that. No, he'll try to distract us with good things, with pleasant things, with things that'll make one wise. He's a master at it, brethren. A master of distraction. You say, Brother David, what does he use to distract? The devil knows how to distract us. He'll use the things that mean the most to us, our family. I said a little bit earlier, and I'll go ahead and just say it again. I think I got all of you back with me, and so I don't want to lose anybody again. But, you know, the devil's not dumb. He knows. I love my children, brethren. And when my children see all the other children doing things and going places and wearing certain things and listening to certain things and watching certain things, you think for 1 minute that it sometimes doesn't kind of just play with my heartstrings and the devil doesn't try to start to distract me and say, it's all right, Brother David, it's really not going to hurt anything. You see, the devil's a master at that. And you know what he'll use to distract us? Our family. The devil will use your family to distract you. Men, let's hear this. Hey, I thank God for my wife. I've got a good, godly wife, and the devil uses that woman right there to help me. But if I'm not careful, the devil will use her to distract me. And she'll use me to distract her. Amen. He'll get family distracting one another. I'm telling you, what I'm telling you is so. We've got what God said do, and I'm all for the family. Our pastor preaches, your family is number one. Don't never put ministry ahead of your family, but can I tell you, God is number one ultimately, and I know our pastor preaches and believes God is number one, and when we start to put our family in front of God, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And many, many people have been destroyed by this tactic of the devil, their family. Their family took them down. The devil will use your family. The devil will use your friends. And I already said that. I'm not going to go into that point, but we all know it. Hey, the devil will bring friends into your life, or maybe friends you already have that start going another path, and he'll allow those friends to distract you from what you know is right. He'll use family. He'll use friends. The devil will use fun. Fun. We live in a day where people are just wanting to be entertained. Pleasure. Entertain me. I want to have some fun. When's the next activity? When's the next cookout? When's the next picnic? And I thank God for all those things. I had a blast yesterday kind of hiking up that mountain with our teenagers after we were done. I had fun. It wasn't fun when we were climbing that mountain, but hey, it was fun when we got done, right? Hey, fun is okay, but fun can distract us. If fun is going to the amusement park on Sunday, it's a distraction. If fun is going to the family cookout or picnic on the Lord's Day, it's a distraction, right? If fun is playing ball on Wednesday night while we're having church, it's a distraction. It's a distraction. The devil will use fun. He'll use family. He'll use friends. He'll use fortune. How many people have the devil distracted because of fortune? Going after the world's goods. Get all I can get. Hey, I want to make some money. I want to fill my bank account. Hey, money's not a bad thing. Our pastor said it plenty of times. Hey, money is a wonderful servant. It's just a horrible master. And the devil will use fortune. Oh, you got to work. Get that overtime. Hey, they're paying triple time on Sunday. Right? The devil, he's a master at it. Distraction. He'll use fun. He'll use fortune. He'll use future. Can I tell you the devil's words tomorrow? God's word is today. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't plan like there's a tomorrow, but we ought to live like there's just today. The devil has some people so distracted by their future. Young people, hear me this morning. Please, please, please hear Brother David. Don't waste what life God has given you living your life for the future, for some dream way down the road. You know, I mean, I'm not against education, but if education consumes your life, then it's not of God. I'm telling you right now, I believe it with all of my heart. This nonsense we were talking about on the bus yesterday, some of you parents are probably going to get mad at me, but this nonsense where the public school takes our kids for 7 or 8 hours a day and then sends home 2 or 3 hours of homework, something's wrong. Somebody needs to be fired. Hey, my kids can read, write, spell, talk, do everything that every other kid can do, and some maybe even better, and it don't take them but about 2 to 3 hours. Amen? Well, depending on what kind of day my wife's having. Right? But that's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. Newsflash, hey, if your kids go to public school and they're sending home 2 or 3 hours of homework, I would call for a parent-teacher conference, and I'd go up there and say, hey, I need to talk to the teacher that can't teach my children in 8 hours a day what they need to learn. I know that people don't like that, but hey, it's a distraction. The devil will use your future as a distraction. Get an education. Go to college. You know, you're gonna live forever. You better make $1 million. You better serve God. Hey, and if God tells you to make $1 million, and if God tells you to get an education, if God tells you to be a doctor, then by all means you be one. But hey, if it's just a professor down at the school, if it's just Hollywood, if it's just this old world that's trying to tell you, if it's just our enemy, our adversary, the devil that's trying to tell you, you need to live for the future, live for fortune, live for fame, live for fun, live for friends, live for family. Hey, you don't fall for it. He's a master of distraction. He's a master at it. Hey, he'll even use food. I wrote that down here. Some of you right now, you're so distracted because of your belly. You can't even hear nothing I say because you're just thinking, goodness, I'm hungry. Hey, the devil will use food to distract us. I don't know how many times I've been distracted by food. I'm serious, man. God says, witness to that person right there. And I'm thinking, behold, my food just got here. You kidding me? Come on, God. Right? Hey. The devil doesn't care. He doesn't play fair. He'll use fear. I'll admit this morning, I've been distracted by fear. What's going to happen? Am I going to be able to pay the bills? Is the economy going to tank? You know? Are we going to war with North Korea? You know, I mean, all these things. Fear. The devil is trying to distract us with fear. He doesn't play fair. The Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. I got verses for all of this, but I'm going to move on. This is my last point. Not only is he a master of distraction, but our enemy, the devil, the adversary, he is a master of destruction. A master. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's a master at it. It's all he wants to do. The point of disguising himself, the point of trying to make you doubt God, the point of deceiving us, the point of every point that I've said distracting us, the point of dividing us is for one reason, and that is to devour us, to destroy us. He wants to destroy, sir. The devil wants to destroy our home. He wants to destroy our church. He wants to destroy our family. He wants to destroy our lives. He wants to destroy our testimony. Destroy it. Devour it. He is a master of destruction. The Bible says the lion, that he is a roaring lion. I don't have time to go into it, but we know about a lion. You know what a lion does? A lion waits to the right time. A lion waits to the right time. And then he strikes. Can I tell you the devil's patient? There's some of you sitting here this morning and God's been speaking to your heart. I'm watching. And God spoke to your heart this morning. But you're thinking, he ain't got me yet. Just wait. That lion you watch, I used to like watching those old, I know, it's probably carnal, but I used to like watching those old National Geographic shows, and that lion, he'll watch and he'll wait. And you'll think, get him! Get him! No, it's not time. Not time. And then right when the time is right, I knew I'd get some of you. Amen. He pounces. And he's doing it, brother. 12 years I've been saved. Man, I've watched him. Wait. Wait till it gets real dark in somebody's life. Wait till they're injured. Wait till they're hurt. You ever notice that the lion, he'll come up and he'll watch that whole, what are they, gazelles? I don't even know. He'll watch them and they'll be going along and he'll look for that weak one. He'll look for that one that's limping. He'll look for that one that's hurt. He'll look for that one that maybe just wanders off by itself, away from everybody else. And he's waiting. And he's watching. And he's going to jump. That's our enemy, brother. He's a roaring lion. And when that lion jumps, hey, he destroys. He doesn't try to injure him. He tries to devour them. He goes for the neck. Take them down fast. When he gets them down, he destroys them. No mercy whatsoever. You see, your enemy is not some little fake fairy tale that Hollywood's trying to sell to us. No, your enemy will take you to the bottom, stomp on you, chew you up, spit you out, and leave you for dead. He could care less about you, about your family. See, it's hard for us to even fathom that because we've got some decency about us. We've got God in us. We don't want to see that. But our enemy, he's not like that. He can't stand us. He can't stand nothing about us. And he wants to destroy us. Our enemy wants to destroy us. And he has many tricks up his sleeve. And these are just a few. Bible says, be sober. That means be alert. Be vigilant. That means be attentive. And then the next verse it says, be steadfast. That means adamant. Don't stop. Because you have an enemy and I have an enemy and he wants to destroy us. You say, well, what do I do, Brother David? He's a master. He's a master of disguise, of doubt, of deception, of division, of distraction. He's a master of destruction. I understand, Brother David, what I'm up against. What am I supposed to do? Ephesians chapter 6, and all I'm going to do is read the verse, and I'm going to close. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll go back to where we started at. And this is a sermon for another day. We've evaluated our enemy. We've seen how he likes to fight. I almost put it in there. You know our enemy, he's a master of discouragement too. I'm not going to preach on that, but there could be somebody here this morning, you're discouraged. You're depressed. You're downtrodden. Can I tell you, look around. The enemy's present. He's a master at discouraging people, depressing people. Our enemy. Ephesians chapter number 6, you say, what do we do, Brother David? It says, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That's a good place to start. In the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God. Why? That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You say, what do I do, Brother David? You need to activate the armor. We've evaluated the enemy. The next thing we need to do, and that's another sermon, we need to activate the armor. We need what God said here. We need the whole armor of God. We need the loins girt about with truth. We need the breastplate of righteousness. We need our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need the shield of faith. We need to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we need to be praying always with all prayer and supplication. We need to activate the armor that God has given us to fight the enemy that we're up against. I'm through. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, can I tell you, mostly I was preaching to save people this morning, but if you're here and you're not saved, the devil, he wants to deceive you. He does. He wants to deceive you. He not only wants to deceive you, he wants to distract you. You say, why, Brother David? Because he wants to destroy you. Your soul in hell for eternity. He knows where that's where he's headed, and he wants you to go with him. If you're not saved, our enemy, he wants you to doubt what I've said today. He wants you to doubt God's warning that the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The devil wants you to doubt that. And so if you're not saved, hey, don't let the enemy win. He's a master at it now. He's won many of them. Don't let him beat you. God help me not to let him beat me. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You can stand to your feet if you'd like.